Hi, my name is Allison Mead, and welcome to What She Said, an episode of the LA FPI's podcast series. The Los Angeles Female Playwrights Initiative is dedicated to encouraging and promoting the works of female playwrights. And today I'm going to be speaking with Cynthia Hopkins, whose new work, This Clement World, is appearing at Red Cat in downtown in LA. Cynthia is a multidisciplinary artist who writes, plays many instruments, and devises theatrical works. Previous pieces include Accidental Nostalgia, Must Don't Whip 'em, The Success of Failure or The Failure of Success, and The Truth, a Tragedy. She's the recipient of the 2007 Herb Alpert Award and a 2010 Guggenheim Fellowship, and has produced many concerts and albums of music on her own and with various collaborators. So welcome, Cynthia.
Thank you.
Well, your new work, This Clement World, begins with a journey. So you spent 3 weeks in the freezing waters of the Arctic on an old ship, as I understand, so you could document the amazing landscapes there. So I wondered if you could talk a little bit about the journey, kind of how it came about in your own life as an artist, and how it ultimately shaped the work that exists.
Well, it landed in my lap rather miraculously because a woman named Ruth Little, who had been a dramaturg at the Royal Court Theater and had become acquainted with my previous works that way, our paths had crossed. She had seen my show in Edinburgh, and we had met a number of times, including at a conference at Columbia's Earth Institute that was about climate change. And at that conference, I told her I was inspired to make some sort of work about the climate crisis. Based on that conference in particular, an opening speech that was given by Wallace Broker, who's a climate scientist. And so she wrote me an email a couple of months later, and I should first say that that conference was organized by Tipping Point, which is a British organization that tries to foster dialogue about the crisis by bringing artists and climate scientists together at these conferences. And so it worked with me, and then a couple of months later I got an email from Ruth saying she had left the Royal Court and had started working for Cape Farewell, which is another British organization whose mission is very similar to Tipping Point, but instead of holding conferences, they bring artists and climate scientists together on these voyages in the Arctic Ocean. And so I was invited to go on one, and I said, is it going to cost me any money, because I was broke? And she said no, and so I said, yes, of course, I'd love to go. So it was a really lucky opportunity for me. And so then as soon as I finished the work I was making at the time, which was The Truth, a Tragedy, which was about my father, so it was a very personal work, I started to do all this research on what's happening with our climate as a result of human activity, and got really immersed in that research and fascinated by it. And but, you know, I mean, nothing could really have prepared me for the voyage, because it's such a surreal place to be. And it's impossible to accurately imagine what it's like to be there. So part of that is just living on a boat. I had never lived on a boat before, and it's a rather small boat. It's a double-masted schooner, and there were 22 of us on board. So the quarters are very close, and, you know, you're stuck with what you brought and with each other.
Right, of course.
And I found that I was actually really terrified to experience that. But what I found that it was that it was very freeing once I was there on the water, and I really fell in love with sailing, and it's just such a startlingly gorgeous landscape. And it also really instantly puts in perspective human civilization and how kind of tiny we are and vulnerable we are to our environment, and how there are places on the earth where humans could not survive, really
right.
can't survive, without a lot of technological aid. And I've been, over the years, you know, reading a lot about theories of evolution of the universe and how we came to be here at all. And so, you know, it's sort of a palpable experience of how the Earth has not, most of the Earth's existence, it has not been a place that's hospitable to human life. And in other words, that the clemency of our world right now is a miraculous phenomenon, and it's a very fragile phenomenon, and it's a totally impermanent and mortal phenomenon.
Right. Well, the show weaves together 15-piece chorus, band, fictional pieces, original folk songs, footage you shot on this expedition, and this kind of gives the work a very personal feeling, even though it's about something that affects everyone on the planet, as you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
But I wondered if you could talk about why this is such a personal issue for you and why it's so important to talk about right now in theater.
Well, why it's so important is that it's it really is a genuine crisis, and it's unfortunately not. I mean, it's becoming more and more prevalent in worldwide consciousness,
mm-hmm.
but from my perspective, it's the kind of immensity and kind of emergency status of the crisis is not addressed in a way that matches what's happening, and certainly government policy is not addressing it in a way that that matches the necessity. So I think it's, for me, you know, it's important to even just to provoke consciousness,
mm-hmm.
And even if that just means that for the day that, or the evening or the day that someone comes to see my show, they think about the fragility of human life and human civilization. I think that's a worthwhile purpose to serve. I mean, the reason it's personal is just probably because that's kind of the style that I work in. And, you know, for me, having the experience of being on the boat, you know, I'm also an alcoholic and drug addict in recovery, and so my perspective on the issue, you know, that's the lens through which I kind of see the world to
mm-hmm.
some degree. And so it kept on the kind of metaphor between the society's addiction to fossil fuels and an individual's addiction to any kind of substance that is destroying, you know, making one's life uninhabitable.
Interesting. That's a really interesting parallel. Well, you also cover a lot of ground in time.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, with the ghost of a Native American woman,
mm-hmm.
a visitor from outer space, a child from the future. I wondered why it was important for you to use the variable of time as well in telling your tale.
Yeah, I mean, time and space. There's, you know, there's also a figure who's from another planet, who's not
mm-hmm.
from Earth. And the reason that I introduce those fictional characters across time and space is because it also continued to strike me, especially being in the Arctic, but also just reading about the issue, that part of the reason it's difficult to grasp and can be overwhelming to consider is that it's an issue with a time and space scale that is beyond our lifetimes. It's beyond a human lifetime. Like, for example, any carbon, you know, footprint that I leave in my lifetime, carbon exists in the atmosphere for hundreds of years, so it exists in the atmosphere longer than I'm alive. So in other words, the remnants of my activity in this lifetime will last far, far into the future after I've died. And so I think for me, that's a really important aspect of what's happening to try to wrap our minds around. And for me, what's particularly potentially strong impact-wise about using the medium of theater is that you can have a fictional character who's a ghost from 200 years ago, and you can have a character who's from outer space, and you can have a character who's from the future. And I mean, just in order to understand that there are gases in the atmosphere that are having a palpable effect on how hot or cold it is that we can't see, the human imagination is a really crucial ingredient of us understanding this, what's happening. You can't see it like you can see, you know, a table in front of you. So you really have to access another part of your brain. And so that's also what I think is really powerful about the medium of theater to address this particular issue. And what I was, I mean, one of my initial ideas for the show was to have the show completely in darkness, that would, so that the audience would have to engage the imagination. But there is a long speech by the alien from outer space where he talks about the evolution of Earth and human civilization, and the idea is for the audience to imagine that journey with a little help from the projections that Jeff Fugg created.
Well, that's fantastic. It's so great. It's so imaginative and obviously so meaningful. I'd like to lastly ask to wrap up what you're up to next. I know you're running through October 27th in Los Angeles. Are you going to take This Climate World to other places or maybe work on new stuff?
I'm in the process of creating a new show that's scheduled to premiere in March 2014. So I'm very actively working on a new piece right now. But This Climate World is supposed to go to Toronto. There's an arm of Cape Farewell in Canada, and they're producing a festival that's all about climate change. And so the piece will be done there, I think, in February.
Lovely.
But this new piece is called A Living Documentary, and it's actually about the challenges of earning a living as a performing artist.
Well, very applicable to many people probably listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. I wish you lots and lots of luck with the run.
Thank you.
Well, Cynthia Hopkins, This Climate World runs for 4 performances at Red Cat in downtown Los Angeles from October 24th through October 27th. The show is designed by Jeff Sugg and directed by DJ Mendel. For more information about tickets, please visit redcat.org or call 213-237-2800. For more information about LA FBI's resources, activities, and opportunities, please visit www.lafbi.com.